So I'll write a list of all the books that I want to read.
Did you read that?
I did. Did you read that thing?
Yeah. Did you read?
Uh-huh.
Did you read?
Mm-hmm.
Did you read?
Of course I did.
Looks like we got ourselves a reader.
Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. And now that the 4th of July holiday is in the rearview mirror, it's time to settle in and make the most of what's hopefully not as hectic a summer schedule for you. And if you're not planning to take in that steady stream of air-conditioned summer blockbuster movies, there's a lot to get excited about in the book world. We're going to talk about great fiction reads today. Tomorrow, we'll be on to nonfiction. So, hey, let us know what your favorite nonfiction choices are for the beach or the poolside this summer. You can give us a call at 8778-MY-TAKE. We want to hear from you. But first, summer fiction, and who better to tell us about some of the summer's best novels than Ron Charles? He's editor of the Washington Post book section. Ron, welcome to The Takeaway.
It's so nice to be here, Todd.
And it's great to have you. You've got a pretty long list here, and we're going to get to lots of novels that people can curl up with or stretch out with over the summer. I want to start with one on here called A Book of American Martyrs. This one is from Joyce Carol Oates.
Yeah, and it's really explosive. You know, it's based on a terrible murder in Florida in 1994, but she sets it later in Ohio, and it begins with the murder of an abortion doctor by a fundamentalist. And so you think you sort of know where this is going, but you don't, because Joyce Carol Oates is so sympathetic to both sides of this violent debate, and you really get to know this Christian fundamentalist man who's so anguished about what he's feeling and what he's done. And the doctor, of course, who's murdered in the opening pages. But then the novel pursues their children. So what you really follow is the effects of these two men on their families. I just thought it was incredibly engrossing and made me think about the other side of this debate in a way I never had. It's really long. You know, it's almost 800 pages. But if you want a novel that really gets you out of your comfort zone and forces you to think about the other side, no matter which side of this debate you're on, this is it, I think.
And it sounds like there's an incredible amount of realism there. I mean, there are, unfortunately, enough headlines, not only about this debate, but about these types of murders.
Yeah, it's ripped from the headlines in a very specific way, in a very tragic way. And, you know, that debate with the Supreme Court nominations and the way this decision will eventually come down, probably in the next year, this is a book to read to really understand the dimensions of this debate in the country, because I think so many of us are sort of settled on this issue, and we think we know everything about it, and we think we know about the other side, which we have demonized in various ways. And, you know, this does what fiction should do. You know, it makes you uncomfortable. It forces you to live in other people's skin in a way you haven't before. And she's such a spectacularly dramatic, you know, semi-gothic author that it's really, really exciting. I just raced through this book.
You've also been reading a thriller, The 12 Lives of Samuel Hawley by Hannah Tinti.
Yeah, now that's such an unusual thriller, but it's a pretty mild thriller, I would say. It's more of a what we call a literary thriller. It's about a former crook who's trying to get out of the business because he wants to protect his daughter. And so you see him moving to Maine and, you know, trying to get a job in this little fishing community, and it's all very tranquil, and he's got this little girl with him. But then every other chapter tells us about the story about how he got one of his bullet wounds. And those are the 12 lives of Samuel Hawley. It's fun. It's exciting. It breaks up the action with, you know, you've got this the main stories and these older stories of how he was shot in various ways, robberies, murders, other kinds of fraud. I thought it was a really, really engaging and unusual structure for a novel.
You know, often in stories like this, former criminals or people who've done bad things try to leave their past behind. And they find it's very difficult to do that. Does crime follow him to Maine?
It definitely does. I don't want to give anything away, but the people that he offended, the people he offended, are desperate to find out where he is and desperate to punish him and his little girl. And that eventually becomes a very dramatic part of the story. It has a kind of a Western flair too, which I kind of liked.
That was not a bid for a spoiler there, just trying to delve in a little bit. Woman number 17 is by Eden Lapucky.
Yeah, this my wife just finished this last night, and she confirmed how much fun it is. It's a very smart, witty novel about childcare and motherhood and art, as it turns out. It's about this woman who gets a contract to write a memoir, but she almost immediately realizes that she doesn't want to write this memoir. So she's procrastinating badly, and she hires a nanny to come take care of her little boy. But the nanny who comes has her own agenda about what she wants to do, and she turns out to be an artist who who is working on her own project about her mother. And so it's a lot about mothers and motherhood and childcare and what our responsibilities are to our children and to our own mothers as we, you know, look back. I thought it was a really fun, smart – there's a little touch of Hitchcock there because neither of these women really knows what's going on in this house, and there's some hanky-panky going on with the elder child who's 18, a boy. I think readers will be very surprised and unsettled by this book.
Now, you also go from the domestic there, overseas and back in history, I assume, for an Irish immigrant story about a family in Boston. This is Saints for All Occasions.
Yeah, and this is a real sleeper this summer. I think this book is going to sell for a long, long time because I'm hearing from all kinds of people and book clubs about how much they like this book. It's, I mean, J. Courtney Sullivan has had some breakout books before, but this is of a different order. It's a long family story about two sisters who come from Ireland, mid-20th century, settle in Boston. They think they know what their lives are going to be like. But their lives turn out very, very differently. The younger sister, who's a little on the wild side, gets herself in trouble and ends up becoming a nun, a cloistered nun, and lives for decades pretty much in silence away from the rest of her family, while her older sister has a big family and lives that whole, you know, Boston immigrant experience that we've read about before. But in this case, we get to know these children and their lives and these two sisters who have, you know, simmering resentments about what happened to them years ago. It's a really lovely story, the kind of book you just want to be alone with and sink into and read and be transported by.
Well, that's great. Ron Charles, these are some of your new fiction books for summer, kind of first pass books. I wanted to get to an old friend summer read, maybe one that people have read before. You know, for me, I made a mistake the other day. I picked up Confederacy of Dunces by John Kennedy Toole. I've read it 12 times. Then it became 13 because I didn't want to read it and I couldn't put it down. You have Anne Tyler's Saint Maybe on the list here as a great summer read, one that a lot of people may have read before.
Yeah, and frankly, you could pick – for me, you could pick any book by Anne Tyler. I think she is one of our greatest living writers, and all these books are so beautiful and so funny. But Saint Maybe is the book that really hit me a long time ago when I was starting my own family. If you don't remember it, it's about a teenage boy whose older brother commits suicide, and he ends up deciding to take care of his brother's three children, which, of course, is an enormous decision to make when you're a teenager. He's just 17 years old, and he becomes the saint of the novel. It's a lot about family and our responsibilities to each other. It's everything that Anne Tyler does best. You know, very tender, very funny, very much about quirky family relations and practices and traditions and habits. I think she's just a gem, and this is one of my favorite novels of her to go back to.
Lots of selections for you there from Ron Charles. Your summer reading list for the poolside or the sandy beach this summer, Ron Charles of the Washington Post book section. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Well, for our complete list of summer reading recommendations, be sure to check out our show page at thetakeaway.org. Tomorrow, we bring you some nonfiction titles to crack open, and we do want to hear from you. Tell us what you're reading this summer, fiction or nonfiction, especially tell us your nonfiction choices, and we'll try to get them in the show with your voice as well. 8778-MY-TAKE is the number. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick. This is The Takeaway.